Turn with me to Revelation chapter 17. As I've been studying and preparing for this, I've noticed that, just for me, familiarity can almost breed contempt. And being so familiar with this scripture and this subject, it is easy for us to just kind of gloss over it. Say, yeah, I know that. I understand that. I'm not sure that we've entered in to the great depth and importance of what it is that God has here by His grace revealed to us. And as I look at that, at this, and compare it with our days, and some of the things that I have worked on and studied over the last 30 years, I am just utterly amazed. And throughout the next few studies we have together, we will be talking about that. This morning, we're only going to have time to introduce it. And my prayer for this morning is that we will begin to understand the weight of this, the importance of it, and begin to understand that God has, by His grace, revealed it to us. So, well, it was Paul who said, "You are not in darkness as other men." But oftentimes, unfortunately, we are. And we have the privilege to look upon these days, not through our own eyes, but through the eyes of God. And I make this commitment to you that I will do my best to not insert my own ideas and to indeed look at this through the eyes of Scripture, which are the eyes of God. And let's pray before we do. Our Father, as we open Your Word together today, we step upon this ground that You have revealed to us. And You have revealed it to us in a very graphic way that would indicate Your spirit about this whole subject. And Lord, may we enter into that and to see it with the apparent disgust that You hold it in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad our young children are in children's church. We need to talk about some things today, which, and you understand that I'm pretty reserved about these kind of things, and want to be careful about mentioning this metaphor that's in our text and stuff, but it's the one that God has chosen. And it reveals the true nature of what is in the future for the world, and which puts it in our future, and what is in the future for it as relates to God's judgment. Join me here, and we'll read just the first two verses. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials. Last Sunday night, we went through those seven judgments that occur in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. Each one of those angels having a separate vial of wrath that he pours out, and all of them relate to different catastrophes. The word calamities upon this earth. After that is finished, these angels are standing around. Maybe they've just been having some donuts or something. I don't know. And one of them says to John, "John, come here." And I will tell you the mystery of the great harlot. Now, certainly this angel does this as at the bidding of God. It's not something that initiates within himself. And God has chosen through this method to reveal to us one of the great, if not greatest, controlling entities in the last days. And for that reason, it is, I think, important, if not just interesting, for us to look at. So the angel says, "Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore." And that's an interesting thing. It's one thing that's going to please John. And I think as we conclude our study of these two chapters, 17 and 18, which both of them deal with this subject, we will be grateful to know that this great whore is going to come under the judgment of God. Verse 2 tells us a little more about this whore, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I will say to you this morning that I am very grateful that I have never been drunken. I do not understand what it means to be that way. I have talked with those who have. And certainly you see illustrations of it in what we commonly call entertainment on television. And I remember one fellow telling me, who was a street fighter in Omaha, that it doesn't hurt if you're drunk. So you get drunk first, and then you go out and fight. So they're oblivious to pain. I suppose that's like having taken some narcotic drug or something, you know. And so you feel the pain later. And, you know, I was, reading or talking with somebody one. Oh, I know. I was talking with a guy the other day, and he was telling me about his earlier life and how that he was quite a heavy drinker. He was telling me about one particular party that he and his friends were on, and they'd gone to, I think it was a Broncos football game. Nothing against the Broncos, Dick. But he didn't even remember having been there. His buddies told him he was there. But he was so drunken, he didn't know he'd been there. Now, as an indication of the influence of this, and this is the word God uses, this whore upon our earth, that the people under her control are so altered by her that they are unaware of their own circumstances and what's going on. Certainly, we ought not to be unaware. Now, as we enter into this, there's a few things that I want to say. The language itself is startling. And I want to pause to remember that. I doubt that there's a woman in this world who would be flattered by being called a whore. No matter how fallen or how wicked she was. But here, the Lord reveals to us an organization, a structure which assumes control over the earth. And the best metaphor and description he can give to her is the great whore. It is the language that is commonly used in heaven about her. Here is an angel talking to John about an organization which will come upon the earth in the last days. And in the parlance of angels, this organization is called the Great Whore. The other derivative of that is given to us in verse 5. Upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. It speaks of epic unfaithfulness and impropriety. This unfaithfulness, I believe, finds its demonstration in possibly scores of different ways. One of the things that we will observe is one, I'll put it in this language, facet of this organization will be religious. Will be an offshoot, apostate derivative of Christianity that has the name of Christianity but is in every way unfaithful to Christ and the God of the Bible. And for that reason, that organization is referred to as a whore. We have watched the development of that organization now well for over 100 years in our own history, to the point that in our nation today, in the majority, the churches that are known as Christian churches are unfaithful to God in the Scriptures. God is not uncomfortable in calling that group a harlot or a whore. There is also, I believe, a political facet to this group. We studied this last Wednesday night, attempted to study the 82nd Psalm. There's a lot of things I do. When I go home, I say, you could have done that better. Psalm 82 is a psalm that's about man's responsibility to govern himself. Not himself personally, but himself politically. And to be governed by all that is moral and true and just. This suggests to us that there is a religious political organization forming that is completely unfaithful to man, that is driven by greed and the acquisition of wealth at the expense of all. You will be amazed. Tonight, I believe I can uncover, and I think accurately and truly, how the American people have been robbed over the last 100 years of a wealth that's incalculable. And in about 1913, there was a group of men who got together and planned that. And they've been working on it ever since. It's a remarkable club. But that's for tonight. The scripture speaks of a significant world-directing entity in the last times that is unfaithful to the natural laws of the world. That being God's world, okay? It also implies that that unfaithfulness is driven by greed. By simple casual observation of the prophetic text, we find that this entity, this institution, is prodigious in size and remarkably successful. What is given to us in these two chapters, 17 and 18? Just in almost an offhand measure, method, reveals to us an incredibly powerful, greedy, wealthy entity. From just general observation, we find that this whore is both religious and political. So there will be a merger of these two worlds, the religious and the political. We learn of her preponderance. Notice with me in verse 1 and 2. In the latter part of verse 1, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The way waters is used here is a way that it is often used within the book of Revelation, and it's referring to a vast number of people. So as we talk about the preponderance of this, I don't know what to call it other than an entity or an organization. We'll define that better tonight. As we talk about this preponderance, it says it sits over and controls a vast number of people. Now, that is, in a way, almost expanded on in verse 2. It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. You see, she is a fornicator herself. And we will find that the chosen, appointed, elected, whatever, representatives of nations know full well the filthiness of this group and cooperate and facilitate her in her work. The kings of the earth. And as a result of that, again, speaking of the preponderance of it, it says, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. That's pretty inclusive. Might want to ask you, are you sober? Might want to ask you if you're willing to be sober. There's a lot of people who are drunk these days because they're not willing to be sober. They don't like the truth. I also want to mention in this context her attractiveness. I don't know much about whoredom or harlotry. I'm grateful that I don't. But I don't think they get very far without being attractive. This particular harlot has found a way to make herself attractive to the world. so that all the inhabitants of the earth are drunken with her. Now, that's probably the only way that I've become drunken. I get drunken with Charlotte. I just love that girl. And I do things that I would never do because who and what she is. Now, we had a big day yesterday. It was a full day. Started out picking up stuff on the highway. Got back, you know, and Charlotte and I are both in an effort to lose a little weight. Not that we think we need to lose it so bad, but we don't want to buy new clothes, trying to get back into our old stuff. And so after the highway thing, then I have to do my exercises. And then all the work that I generally do on Saturday morning is not done, so I come back to the office and work. And I get home, and I'm absolutely wore out, looking forward to a nice night of rest. Charlotte is fixing food and preparing for today. And she says, what would you like for supper? And I said, oh, anything you want to fix. She says, I want to have a tuna fish sandwich on the shores of Lake McDonald. I think, what is wrong with you, lady? So we pack the bikes up in the truck and we go up and we park at West Glacier and we ride our bikes to Lake McDonald and eat a tuna fish sandwich. And you want to know why I do that? Because I love her. I'm drunken with her. That is going to be the relationship of our world with this organization. They are going to become drunken with her. And let me tell you, they're already drinking. They're already getting there. Then another observation I want to make this morning. God's interest in this harlot. He could have just left all of this stuff unsaid, taken care of what he wants to take care of, and do it. But it is something that is incredibly important to him. And it has been a subject of his interest ever since the book of Genesis. Because please understand, on the basis of verse 5, it says, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. This is a movement and this is an entity that has been grasping at control of the earth ever since creation. It is not new and unusual. What we're seeing here in Revelation 17 and 18 is the growth and predominance of this organization in the last times. Just in Revelation, there are two chapters, 42 verses given entirely over to this one thing. Come back with me to Genesis chapter 11. And just see with me quickly what God says about this harlot. Genesis chapter 11. Now, I'm kind of jumping upon some things here and not taking time to fully elucidate these matters, but you understand, here is the ancient Babylon, which is a type, a part, a forerunner of the Babylon to come. And God makes this observation about her. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, this people is one. They're united in this effort. And they all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing. Understand, this is God's observation about Babylon. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. the uncanny power of men to seduce and dominate men. The incredible subtlety of how they do that. And the avarice and the greed that drive it. Wicked. The entire 50th chapter of Jeremiah is given to the demise and judgment of this whore in the last days. From the ink alone that is given to her, we find that she is very significant. To handle this in a quick term, we would say this, quick sentence. It is the way of man unrestrained. Babylonianism has been the general course of apostate man throughout the ages. Periodically, it has risen to greater dominance, and in the last days, it will rule the earth until itself is subdued by the Antichrist. Understand, this whore and the Antichrist are not synonymous. They are different entities. And in that last time, the Antichrist will turn on this whore and destroy her. Babylonianism rises to dominance in the last times. I think we'll have to quit there. Let me just finish with these thoughts. Tonight we're going to identify the whore. Attempt to. It is and will be a religious political force that takes dominance over the earth by the attraction of her fornication. Interesting, those words. Whore, harlot, fornication. Do you know how attractive that is to our world? It's so attractive that in September of 2013, Outback decided it's the best way to promote their business. No rules, just right. We're ready for it, folks. Wealth and greed will rule the future. The measure of wealth and its distribution will amaze you. I will push your thinking tonight to some places I doubt it has ever gone. And here's another reality. In the tribulation times, trickle-down economics will become a downpour. Please understand, folks, there's a reason that everybody gets drunk with this woman, because she holds such a vast amount of wealth, and she will be spending in the last days like a drunken sailor. If you doubt that, read the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Folks, I'm excited. I've done everything I can to hold my horses in today. Encourage you to be back with us tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It has revealed to us, even in its own words, mysterious things. Things hidden that are coming upon us in the last times. Lord, grant that in a world of darkness, we will be what the apostle has called us to be, sober, godly people. Not drunken with the foolishness of this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.